I have a sense in my spirit. Some of you were touched and healed just now. But we need all the time we can. And we love to move into the healing ministry and flow along. But tonight especially, I felt the burden of God to deliver His Word in the book of Leviticus. The third book in the Old Testament. And I believe it's the least read book in the Bible. The book of Leviticus, 27 chapters. But it's rich in many truths. The more difficult a book is, or the more difficult a passage in the Bible is, the greater the depth of revelation that is hidden inside. So tonight let's go to God as we open to the book of Leviticus and ask God's Spirit to enlighten our hearts and our minds with the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that You pour forth upon hearts and minds here the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We ask, O God, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, especially tonight, to the book of Leviticus. Open that book to us, O God. Unveil those truths that You have placed in this precious Word. And we ask, O God, that even as we look into this book, that an understanding and a hunger for Your Word will come upon Your people. And that it will transform their lives, their hearts, their minds. We promise, O God, that in all You do, we give You all glory, worship, and honor. Let the Word prevail mightily, O God, in this place and in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives, and in our very physical body. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Leviticus, 27 chapters, and it's logically divided into two major portions. Of all the books of the Bible, this is one of those books where you could pick up any commentary on the book of Leviticus and you find the greatest differences in interpretation and in commentation. And some divided into 9 portions, some divided into 4, some divided into 5. And this is one of those books where you don't have a general common outline that you may have in the other books. And we are approaching from the spiritual angle, so tonight we divide that book into 2 major portions, from chapter 1 to chapter 17. The book of Leviticus, chapter 1 to chapter 17. And then the second portion is from chapter 18 to chapter 27. The book of Leviticus has one key theme, and you hear it over and over again as you read this book. God is saying, holy, holy, holy. I am a holy God, and my people must and shall be holy as I, your Lord, am holy. The word holy occurs most frequently in this book of all the Old Testament books. Notice that word holy, 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 be sanctified, be holy. Constantly occurring in this portion of the Bible. And it seems that as God has started in Genesis and as He's redeemed His people in Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, He's calling His people to fellowship with Him. And as He's calling His people to fellowship with Him, there is no other avenue but through holiness. So this book focuses on holiness. The first 17 chapters talk about the position that God wants His people to be in. It stresses on the positions, how to get yourself into that position, what to do to obtain the position that God wants you to be in. So the first 17 chapters talk about your position with God. The second portion from chapter 18 to chapter 27 talks about our walk with God. So God first positions us, and then He tells us how to walk in this earth and this life that He wants us to. Let's look at the first portion in Leviticus chapter 1 to 17. In the first section, it is divided into four subsections. The first subsection is from chapter 1 to chapter 7. And they cover the offerings. All the various types of offerings. You find it mentioned up to chapter 7. But you notice something changed from chapter 8. From chapter 9, you can just go along in your book there. We are studying by the book, so we turn quite fast. From chapter 8, right on to chapter 9 and chapter 10. Three chapters form the second subsection. And it talks about the priesthood. So God establishes the sacrifice, what the position of the sacrifices are to be like. Five types of sacrifices in the Old Testament. Then, from chapter 8, 9, and 10, He moves on to the priesthood. What the priesthood must be like, and He establishes it. After that, from chapter 11, right on, chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, right on to chapter 15, and you could include chapter 17 inside, He talks about the people. So He talks about the sacrifices, chapter 1 to chapter 7, the priesthood, chapter 8 to chapter 10, the people, a clean people, He wanted them to be. From chapter 11, right to chapter 15. Chapter 16 and 17, talk about the altar that He wants them to have, the focus. And chapter 16 and 17 summarizes all the other three chapters in the Day of Atonement, and He talks generally about blood. So there are three major subsections in the first half of the book of Leviticus. Let's look at the five types of offerings that He describes here. Leviticus chapter 1. The first is called the burnt offering. The burnt offering. The second is called the meal or grain offering. The Old King James put the meat offering. I'm sorry to say it's not meat. The Old English meat conveys the idea of grain. But today language has changed, which was one of the reasons why I changed from the Old King James to the New King James. Say why? Because I'm new. And for one reason, this is the third time I'm teaching through the Bible. The second round when I'm teaching through the Bible, book by book, I got stuck on certain prophetic books on the Hebrew language. Because I found that the translation of the Old King James in certain portions was not quite what it should be. And that was when I wrestled around to find a translation that would be suitable. And finally, I found that New King James would be suitable. So in the second type of offering is the grain offering or meal offering, chapter 2. Chapter 3 is the peace offering. And chapter 4, the sin offering. Chapter 5, the trespass offering. And chapter 6 and 7, it tells them the details of all these five offerings. From chapter 1 to chapter 7, there are only five major things it talks about. The five different types of offering. As we approach this book, remember this. God, when He reveals Himself, always reveals from His being outwards. You will notice in the book of Exodus, which we covered 2 weeks ago, when He revealed about the tabernacle, the instruction He gave them to build the tabernacle was from the inside outwards. He talked about the building of the ark. And then He talked about the building of the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the candlestick. And then He talked about the laver. And then He talked about the brazen altar. So God talks from the inside outwards in His instruction.
But when we approach God, supposing that you live in the time of Moses, and you would approach that tabernacle of Moses, the first thing you see is the brazen altar. Backwards. You would see the brazen altar, and then you see the laver, and if you were a priest, then you could enter the holy place and see the other three pieces of furniture. And if you were the high priest, then you could enter into the most holy place and see the ark. Blurry, that is. Because of the cloud of incense that is required when the high priest enters on the Day of Atonement. So bearing that in mind, based on the revelation of the tabernacle of Moses from the inside outwards, it stresses the depth of God outwards. And we approach from the brazen inwards to the Holy of Holies. The same similar pattern is the basic revelation to the key in these first five sacrifices. When God reveals the burnt offering, He tells us that is the offering that reaches the highest level with Him. The burnt offering. And the burnt offering was so important that God says it is a perpetual sacrifice. He mentions that in the book of Leviticus chapter 1. He says it must be a perpetual sacrifice. And in chapter 1, it says in verse 17, the last part, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And look over at chapter 6, verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13 in your Bible. It says the burnt offering is a perpetual fire shall burn on the altar, it shall never go out. So of all the five offerings, the most important is the burnt offering. And then God moves out to the meal offering, or the grain offering. The grain offering, to be precise, is an offering of grain to Him. And as you look at the grain offering, it is also in chapter 2, verse, look at chapter 2 in the grain offering, verse 12. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. Every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. But it's in the grain offering that He specially mentions salt, sodium chloride. All of a sudden, never mentioned that earlier. That is your key to interpret the grain offering, which we will interpret afterwards. Basically, it's for us to notice that it is also an offering that the Bible classifies as a sweet aroma to the Lord. You find it described again in chapter 6 and 7. Now the third offering, it slowly moves to the third offering, which is the peace offering. And in the peace offering, again in verse 5, Aaron's son, chapter 3, verse 5, shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The first three offerings are sweet to the Lord. The last two, called the sin offering and the trespass offering, are different. Very different. God never said they smell sweet to Him. Now, mind the Bible language. God is not talking physically. Physically, scientifically, analytically, all the offerings smell the same. If you think carefully, it all smells the same. They were not, I'm sorry, allowed to put any spices. None of us were there. But God said that these last two did not have a sweet aroma. So God is revealing a truth here, not just a natural truth. Anybody's